Tough times are ahead for Christians. In fact, it's already started in many places throughout the world. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative, biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
I think it's easy to agree and see that Christians are facing increasing trials throughout the world. If you stop to consider the direction that society is moving, and it is moving further and further away from anything that even remotely resembles objective truth, the Christian will stand out more and more, or at least should. Paul tells us this about the times of the seasons toward the end in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. This is what he says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-worth, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." And then he continues talking about Jannes and Jambres who opposed Moses, etc. These types of people in the religious realm have one thing on their mind, and of course that is to take advantage of weak-willed people. And we have the same thing going on in the political realm. I mean, look at what's going on in our society today. Just consider what our society has become. And if the reality hasn't dawned on you by now, well, you may be a leftist. I mean, the truth is that I cannot recall in my lifetime when our government has been so corrupt, so filled with lawless individuals who only think of themselves and not what is truly best for Americans. America has a government that is slowly strangling the liberty out of its citizens, and even though there are plenty of conservatives who rail against it, work to change it and understand what's coming if we fail, the difficulty is that those in our government, aided and abetted by the media, do what they want to do anyway. It's not only maddeningly frustrating, but it goes against the very core of the Constitution. Now, probably most of you know this. America is a constitutional republic. And as such, we elect individuals who are duty-bound to uphold and protect the Constitution upon which this country is founded. We do not elect individuals so that they will do what the perceived majority in this nation wants done. That kind of government is a democracy, which America is not. Even Obama gets this confused with his remarks about 90% of Americans wanting stricter gun control. First of all, I believe he's lying because that percentage is something he just pulled out of his hat. And second, it does not matter if 100% of Americans wanted greater gun control measures to be enacted. That has nothing to do with anything. The Constitution clearly defines the Second Amendment as the right to keep and bear arms, and it shall not be infringed. It's simple, clear, definitive. Elected officials are supposed to do all in their power to protect, uphold, and defend the Constitution, not engage in trickery and using every tactic they can think of to try to circumvent the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. You know, we have a Congress that passed Obamacare without even reading it, and this same Congress is now trying to exempt themselves and their staff from it. They could care less about us. Our country is overrun with illegal aliens. No, they are not guest immigrants, Mr. Obama. So we have illegal aliens, lawless Islamists, communists, Marxists, and socialists, and others who want to see America destroyed. It's happening right before our eyes, and it is the most frustrating thing I've ever witnessed, because it seems that no matter what conservatives do, we cannot get a leg up on the problem. Now, recently, we've seen bombs going off in Boston. Days afterwards, while trying to find the remaining suspect who was at large, the entire city was virtually shut down under unofficial martial law. And you know what the worst part of this was? No one complained about it. Overall, law enforcement was given high marks for temporarily eradicating the Fourth Amendment, setting it aside. Do people even think anymore? Are they so concerned about their own safety that they are willing to give up their rights? Well, apparently, and you can bet, our government took notice at how easily those rights were set aside and no one complained. You know, we've seen a Saudi national go from suspect to witness to nobody, but soon to be deported. Why is he being deported if he is supposedly has nothing to do with the Boston bombings? We've heard Janet Napolitano testify before congressional groups about this same Saudi national, and it turns out that her testimony is a lie. Moreover, we've seen both Obama and Napolitano decide that they will no longer deport people who are illegally here. This has resulted in the union for the ICE agents taking Napolitano and the DHS to court so that a judge will force her to allow the ICE agents to do their jobs. We are witnessing one of the most disgusting, egregious criminal trials in history, with Kermit the abortionist facing 380 criminal counts. Five of them are murder charges. We've learned just how squalid the conditions were at Kermit Gosnell's House of Horrors abortion clinic in Philadelphia. And we've heard testimony and seen graphic photos proving that as far as Kermit Gosnell is concerned, the life of an unborn child is worth absolutely nothing. In all of this, as I've mentioned, the media aids and abets. It tries very hard to place blame where it doesn't belong. On the right, conservatives. And when the facts do come out, no thanks to the same media, talking heads do all they can to spin things so that somehow the right is still to blame. You know, if I were a quitting man, I would say that we've lost the battle. However, I know the truth, and the truth is that even though things look bad, God's in control. Even if the right ends up losing, the fact is that we must continue the fight for what is right. God expects that of us and will empower us to do it. And you know what? He wins in the end anyway. Looking at our world today is not a pleasant thing to do. We are overrun by the emotional virtue of political correctness and the arrogant lawlessness that results from it. Those people who are part of the politically correct crowd are not interested in justice. They are only interested in the nebulous equality and freedom, as defined by them, not anyone else. Because of the attitudes of many today, lawlessness is at an all-time high. And the most tragic part is that society is not yet at its worst. I mentioned 2 Timothy chapter 3, which I read at the beginning. That applies to this generation, this society. Paul says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, 1-4. Are we there yet? Well, we are definitely on our way. And we need to be strong, be resolute, and we need to continue trusting in God. Paul spoke plainly to Timothy regarding the difficulties of the end times, which I believe we are in. He warned Timothy to be aware of the changes that would occur within society, changes that would not be beneficial for anyone, and which would cast the true Christian in the unfavorable light of being seen as intolerant. You know, we know that Paul in the book of Galatians spoke very harshly about those who would come preaching another gospel. He said this, quote, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For I'm now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Unquote. That's Galatians 1, 8, and 10. You know, there are too many within Christendom today who seem to be much more interested in being friends with the world than in protecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like the elected officials who are trying so desperately to do what they want instead of following their oath to protect and uphold the Constitution. Christians like that, if we can call them that, preach another gospel, a gospel based on social change, and they encourage others to do the same thing. Because some believe, for instance, that Jesus lives in others, though they're of different religions, solely because they're involved in helping others. One can only wonder where this is instated or even implied in Scripture. Surely this is another gospel, one which mocks Christ's own words of John 14:6, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." If it merely takes good works or helping those within society, then surely the death and shedding of Christ's blood was not needed, and he literally died in vain. Those who hear the true gospel and reject it do not wind up being Christians because they become involved in some social gospel that supposedly changes parts of society while remaining part of another religion. In our society, the Christian is seen more and more as intolerant because they have the audacity to preach one way of salvation and dare to suggest that due to sin, all have fallen short of God's glory. The fact that we may do that does not mean we do not see our own sin. It is because we see our own sin that we are also able to see the sin of others. Those who refuse to call sin what it is do a tremendously huge disservice to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In their desire to be seen favorably by the world, they turn the gospel into something it is not. In the meantime, people die and are ushered into hell on a daily basis. These people are no better than the Pharisees because they keep people from the truth, and they themselves will not enter either. Their reward is seen in what the world gives them, and it's unfortunate that this is quite possibly the only reward they're ever going to see or know. Wow. It makes you think. It makes you stop to consider. Folks, we need to be always prepared to give someone an answer for the hope that we have in Christ. And next time we're going to get together, we will be talking about what the New Age calls the Great Evacuation and what the Christian calls the Rapture. So I hope you will join me for that. It's an amazing subject. It's often denied today. It's often ridiculed, panned. People who hold to the rapture are often insulted. I myself have been called a heretic because of my beliefs in a pre-trib rapture. And people accuse me of wanting to escape persecution. No, it has nothing to do with it. If the rapture is taught in the Bible, then it's taught in the Bible. If it's not, it's not. But what I find interesting is what the world in the New Age movement has to say about an event that looks eerily like the coming rapture. And my big question is, if the rapture is not going to happen, then why would Satan teach that same doctrine in so many words to the people who follow him in what is known as the New Age movement? We're going to be investigating that next time, so I hope you will join me. Thank you for joining me now. And until we meet again, I pray so much that the Lord will open your eyes so that you can see how great you have been blessed in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.